Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Way louder. Well, we're on a series. I know it's 11, and I do want to preach this because it goes so along with what God was doing. And so awesome that today, in practice even, I don't know how the worship team felt, but man, we felt it. I felt it on the platform even practicing. I thought, oh, where's it going to go today? This is awesome. So I am a bit of a sweaty mess. I apologize. I normally get to do a wardrobe change, but here I am. All right. So we've been talking and not or. Let me just stop for 1 second. Let me just say thank you. Oh, you're so good. I know we've been singing it, but we just stop and we say you're good. We just say thank you, Jesus, for lives given to you. Hearts being renewed and stirred. Lord, now I ask you to take my words. And Father God, would you put your spirit into them and move through them? Because my words are nothing, but your spirit is everything. So come alive in my words, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing this series called And, Not Or, trying to challenge ourselves with some of the hard things in the gospel where there are pillars. I've been using the bridge foundation that you usually have, foundation of a pillar on one side and a pillar on another side. And these tension bridges, the only way they work is with the tension. You take away the tension, you have no bridge. And there's a lot of things in the gospel where there is tension. And so anybody want to shout out what we did last time, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe? Other than Sean, photographic memory?
Faith and works.
Awesome. Faith and works. There's tension there, right? Because we talked about that. It's like Romans talks about faith coming into the kingdom, but then James, it makes it sound like you got to do works, but he's not saying that. He's saying, I will show you my faith by my works. And we have to have that tension. We have to, you lose that tension, and we lose the very thing, the mystery of the works that God's given us to do. So I want to talk about another one today, but I want to start with a story. It's story time. I thought I would get an amen for that or something, but again, this is not my story, but I loved it. I read it, and I thought, this is so incredible. I just got to start with it. So I mentioned last time when I read a story, his name was Bob Goff. I'm reading a book by him, and it's really just story after story, and I love this. Okay, so Bob and his wife are sitting. This is true. Bob and his wife have a house by the lake, and they sit on their porch often. They're an older couple. I have no idea when this story actually occurred, but they sit on their porch, and often, because there's a trail by their house going to the lake, he says a lot of married couples will walk hand in hand, and they will walk down to the lake, and when they're coming back, they'll see Bob and his wife, and everybody waves. He's like, it's like an old town. It's just beautiful. Everybody waves to each other. And he says they love it, and often him and his wife simply hold hands, and they wave to people when they come. He says one day, as they're sitting there, you know, couples come, but he says this single guy comes. He doesn't know he's single at the time, but he sits there, and he waves, and he just keeps waving. And they wave back, and he keeps waving. Bob's like, this is awkward. So he's like, I'm just going to go down there and see what this guy wants. So he walks down, and he gets down there, and this guy goes, hi, I'm Ryan, and I'm in love. Now, there's nothing wrong with this guy. He's just super excited. He's like, I'm Ryan, I'm in love. And Bob's like, congratulations, that's awesome. He's like, thank you. And then he goes, he's like trying to, Bob's like, just get it out, come on. He's like, do you think I could propose to my wife in your backyard? Bob's kind of like, this is weird, odd. I don't even know this guy. I know his name, but he says, what the heck? Let's do it. You can propose to your wife. And before he even has a chance to say anything else, Ryan's running. Bob's like, see you, Ryan. He has no idea when this is going to happen, how it's going to happen, but Ryan's gone. He literally says, he said, if I could describe it, he said the guy was like he was running, but his feet only touched every 20 feet. Like he was floating and bouncing, and kind of reminds me of Max and Abby, you know, the day that you said, you know, you just cloud nine. So he says a couple days later, him and his wife are on the porch again, and Ryan shows up, and Ryan starts waving. So Bob's like, I'm not waiting any longer. I'm going down. So he goes down, and he's like, hey, Ryan, how's it going? You know, you must be excited. And Ryan's like, I'm so excited. He's like, uh-oh, here we go. He's like, could I have dinner on your back porch? Bob's like, you kidding me? In his head. Let's do it, Ryan. Why not? Why, let's do it. Let's have dinner on my back porch. So Ryan starts running off, and Bob was going to go, what can I make? But before, he's gone. So another couple days, and Ryan comes back, and he's like, he's not even waving. He's just going, Bob's going down to talk with him. Bob gets down there, and he gets, every time he said it's this awkward pause, and he's trying to help the guy get it out because he's nervous. And he's like, what do you want, man? He's like, could I have a few friends serve the dinner to my, you know, future wife? He's like, that sounds like a great idea, Bob. Like, at this point, he's getting into it. He's kind of getting excited where this is going to go. Let's do it. Come on. How many people are you thinking? I don't know, 20? He's like, I got a perfect stranger who wanted to get engaged in my backyard, now wants to have dinner on my porch with 20 people serving him dinner that I think I'm cooking. What the heck? Why not? Ryan goes off. This happens again. Next thing he's asking for is like, could I dance on the back of your porch after we've eaten with the 20 people serving? Why not? This is fun. And he said, the next day, he said, 2 days pass, and it's usually, I think it was 3 days, and he's like, where's Ryan? Like, he's so into it now, he said he would get home early from work and wait on the porch with anticipation. He said his love for his future wife, his fiance, was so contagious. He was like caught up now. It's like a reality show. He's like, what's he going to do next? So he says the next time he's sitting on the porch and Ryan doesn't even let him get up. Ryan comes running. He's running. And he gets there. He's like, hold on. And he's out of breath. And finally he catches his breath. He says, he's like, oh, here we go again. Do you have a boat? He's like, well, yes, Ryan, I do. Do you think after I asked my wife, my fiance to marry me, you could take us out on the boat? Or could we maybe do it on the boat? I could ask her to marry me on the boat. He's like, sure, Ryan, why not? And here's the fun part. At this point, Bob's like, I can't let this go by myself. I need to get people involved. I think he happened to know somebody from the Coast Guard. He calls him up, tells the guy what's going on. This guy gets so excited about what's going on. He's like, let's do this. And I won't tell you what this is until it happens. So the day comes, and he said, you couldn't have imagined something more beautiful. He said, there he is, Ryan, a perfect stranger, sitting on my porch having dinner with 20 other perfect strangers in his house, carrying out the dinner that he cooked. Then they have this beautiful dance, as everybody probably watched on from a distance. He says, then they go down, and they get into his boat, and he's ready. They start pulling out, and what Ryan did, he got his 20 friends to spell out, will you marry me, just in case he couldn't get it out of his mouth. So they're all holding these signs. And by the way, she is like, I have no clue what's going on. Why are we in a perfect stranger's house? Why are we on his boat? She was dumbfounded. And then he gets on one knee as they're going. He says it's like every star in heaven came out to watch this moment. And he does his, and he finally gets it out. Will you marry me? Of course, she breaks down in tears. Yes. Unbeknownst to them, the Coast Guard pulled up. This is a true story, with their full-fledged fireboat behind them. And when he gave the thumbs up, they shot every water cannon that they had at the same time. And he said it was like something out of a movie. Everybody's crying. And it was absolutely amazing. How did you get engaged? Yeah, that's right, the parking lot. Woo! Hey, there's jets going off everywhere in your heart. Why do I say that? I want to talk today quickly. We don't have a lot of time. We want to talk about something in 1 John. 1 John makes this incredible statement. There's two statements I'm going to say. John 1. John starts trying to describe, and you can turn there. Let's actually do it. Let's turn to John. If you have your Bible app, open it on your Bible app. John 1, John begins to describe the very beginning and begins to describe Jesus. Took me a while to find it. Let's go John 1, verse 14. And it says, the Word, which is Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to stop there. We have two pillars. And what I love about Jesus, he's not half and half. It's amazing that you can actually be full with two things at once, but Jesus was full of a lot of things at once. But in this case, he's saying, I was full of grace. So we got a pillar over here we'll put up in a second again, and truth. And if you look at those pillars, they are actually, it seems like they are entirely opposite, and that's the point, pillars. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. I love how the Amplified puts it. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Sorry, this is the NLT. Full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Father's one and only Son. The Amplified says it this way. For while the law, this is verse 17, again, full of grace and truth. While the law was given through Moses, grace, and the Amplified defines it, unearned, undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. That's how they describe grace. Unearned. Look at your neighbor and say, grace is unearned. Come on, seriously. Grace is unearned. Look at your neighbor. Undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. So, man, you got to understand that over here, grace is unearned, undeserved. It's given to you as a gift. It's powerful. And then it says, and truth came through Jesus Christ. So I want you to know that we've got truth and we've got grace and we have this tension. In the Christian walk, and our whole goal, one of the things that we're saying more often now is the way of Jesus. I have become determined that if I'm going to do anything, I want it to be in the way of Jesus. Not in the way of religion, not in the way of man, not in even the way of a book I read, because if it's just a book and it doesn't have the life and the breath of Jesus, it's just another plan. I want it to be with the way of Jesus, breathe life. And a lot of times in our world today with Christianity, and I'm reading a few books I've mentioned, and I'm amazed that some of these authors that are now in their 70s, they're actually confessing. They say, we've been Christians a long time, and the one thing that we often fail to see in the church is something that we talk about all the time, which is love. I want you to know, as we talk about the truth and we talk about grace, I can clearly tell you that the bridge that these form is actually called love. Grace and truth. And it's interesting, in 1 John it says, God is, not has, God is love. So if God is love and God is full of grace and truth, therefore I conclude, my conclusion is love is also full of grace and truth. And man, that trips us all the time. How many know that sometimes you want to lean to the side of truth? Come on, anybody else want to admit in your marriage you like to lean to truth? When you have the answer, only two fingers went up. Now we got two fingers going. Yeah. What does it look like to lean into truth? When you have the answers and you want to tell your husband and your wife the answer over and over again, 4 years later. Nobody else does that. You're in a fight and you bring out the arsenal. Hey, do you remember when? I'm still angry with you. Here's the thing with truth. Truth is truth. Truth is supposed to be right. You may hold truth, but I'll tell you, sometimes without the pillar of grace, how many have been so far on the side of truth without any grace, you might have slept on the couch? Oh, there we go. We got one brave soul. I came close. I never have. But I've had moments, man. People go, but you're a pastor. I am human. This is a calling on my life. Like, seriously, some people think you're invincible or something. No, this is a calling on my life, like the calling on your life. And I am pursuing the Lord daily to try to grow. And I have had moments where I leaned with my kids or I've leaned with someone way too far into truth. I've also had moments where I've leaned way too far into grace. You ever had those moments? Almost had those moments a few times recently where my kids are saying things, I'm almost distracted. Yeah, whatever. And then Chris is like, what? They can't do that. Oh, sorry. But it says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. Now, I'm flying through my notes because I just want to get to the crux of the matter. Here's what we need to understand. And I have been studying the scripture. I'm like, Lord, I want to see this. I want to understand. It says that Jesus is, or God is, love. So I'm determined in this hour to go, Lord, I have watched a lot of things over my lifetime and especially the last few years. If love is the bridge and truth and grace are pillars and you are full of truth and you are full of grace, you need to show me how to walk. Because so often we often fail in the side of truth. We really want to tell people when they come to us the truth. I don't know about you, but today even, and maybe that's why my worship was a little more exuberant, because I've been preparing this message. I am so aware of my flaws and the grace that he gives me. Sometimes it's so easy to get high and mighty because we conquered one thing, but if we sit long enough and let his light shine on us, we will be like, oh, that is still dark in my life. Man, we like to pick the big things, don't we? We like to pick the really big things, but did you know that sin is sin in God's eyes? So he can look at a murderer, and we did this the other day with the planets. I encourage you, if you didn't watch it, go back. But he can look at that sin, and he can look at a lie that's like a white lie. I'm just going to say a little white lie because I need to get out of here. And I won't tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'll just tell a half a truth. He can look at those sin as sin, and he can look at them equally. We can't. So sometimes we want to get on our high horse and tell people their sin. And so I'm like, but Lord, truth is truth. You don't want to negate the truth. You don't want us to go so far into grace that we don't talk about truth, because truth is the word. But let me tell you a few stories that I've come to understand. And this is something that as a church, we have to get to. As Christians, we have to get to. I'll be bold enough to say this because Jesus did it. With this key, we can change the world. Not all at once, but I know we can change people's lives. I had a moment recently, I can't go into detail because now we're online, but I had a moment recently where I was doing something, I heard some commotion, and I realized I knew these people well enough that I could go over there because I thought they need help. It wasn't like a devastating thing. It was a moment where a mom needed help. And so I put down what I was doing. I really didn't want to put down what I was doing, but I put down what I was doing. Not trying to make myself special. I was being selfish, actually. I didn't want to stop what I was doing. But I chose to go over there, and I chose to help the mom for a second. And for the first time, this mom opened up. She gave me a quick story, and for the first time, she said, please pray. I thought, Lord, how simple is it, and how often do we miss it, and how often do I miss it? I just had to stop what I was doing. I had to go love, and that person opened up to me and has never asked me to do that. We have these stories in Luke. I want to share three of them quickly. We're not going to turn to them for sake of time. We have these stories, and I'm like, Lord, how does this work? I want to function fully in grace, and I want to function fully in truth. But all I know is that Jesus found a way to function in the middle, in the tension, and he often brought this incredible supernatural love, not a Philadelphia love, not a phileo love. Okay, there's two words. There's actually a couple words, but it's like, it's not a human love. It's like, I love you. It's an agape love. He functioned in this supernatural love that would turn people's lives, and often he wouldn't even say a word. It's crazy. We've got the prostitute. We've talked about this. No, sorry, not the prostitute. Let's start with, she's going to get stoned. He walks up because they want to catch Jesus. They want to stone this woman. They walk up. And instead of saying anything to them, well, he does say something more to them, but they want him to say something to her. She's caught in the act of adultery. Guy's not dragged out. Women must really, like, I'd be furious. I'm furious for you. I'm like, oh, so only the woman was caught in adultery. So they drag the woman out, and they want to stone her. But he basically, in grace for her and truth for them, he says, hey, anyone that's never sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone. It's funny, one by one, they all begin to walk away. This is what I love about that story. In that moment, he could have then delivered a whole bunch of things that she did wrong. But somehow, I believe the love, the supernatural love, picked her up, dusted her off, but he did say, truth, after grace, hey, go and sin no more. But at no point, I love the fact, didn't make her feel humiliated, shamed, or anything. He actually picked her up, saved her life, got her on her way. Zacchaeus climbs a tree, right? Little short guy like me. Hey, I'm Ryman. If you read that story about Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. He's rich. He is not liked. They never were. He climbs a tree because he wants to see Jesus. I want to tell you that's all it took today, didn't it? I want to see Jesus. We started with, come and let your presence fill this place. He climbs the tree just to get a look at Jesus because he's heard the rumors. He's hearing all these things. And Jesus, as he's walking, looks up and goes, hey, we're having dinner today or lunch. I'm sure that surprised Zacchaeus. Don't you love it? The first words were not like, hey, sinner, you know, I'm going to come and fix you. Hey, I'm having lunch at your house. I don't have lunch on. You better get it on. He goes and eats. It's interesting, that story. I wanted to find more to the story, but all I can see in that story is the fact that they're having some sort of conversation. All I can figure is supernatural love is once again coming out of Jesus. He is still dealing with grace and with truth, and this supernatural love comes out. And out of nowhere, Zacchaeus says, hey, I'm going to pay back all my debts and give money back, and I'm going to make things right. I don't remember anything, any red letters in there saying Jesus convicted him of all his sin. Somehow in those conversations, he used truth and grace and a supernatural love, and it changed his life. Lord, I want that. Anybody else? Prostitute. This is all out of Luke. Prostitute. I love this story. Once again, you know, he's at a Pharisee's house. It's hard to read until the very end, but it's pretty clear that this Pharisee who was top-notch, big dog, invited all a bunch of other Pharisees to come have dinner, and they have Jesus there. This is the, you know, the man, the moment. They're gonna ask him a bunch of things, and Jesus is there, and all of a sudden, while they're there with all the Pharisees who don't talk really to hardly to women, let alone a prostitute, this prostitute literally sneaks into the house. And they all know she's a prostitute. Which makes you wonder, doesn't it, how they knew? They all could identify her as a prostitute. We'll leave that one there. She comes and she begins to weep over Jesus and washes his feet with her tears and with her hair. And they're all wanting to condemn her. They're so leaning into, sorry, truth that Jesus is functioning out of this supernatural grace. And then Jesus says this story. He doesn't even condemn them. He just starts with a story. He says, hey, you know, if somebody is in debt 500 and somebody's in debt 5 and the person forgives both, who was forgiven more? And the Pharisee says, well, I guess the one that owed more. He's like, yep. He just leaves it float. hoping that they connect the dots. Like, oh, she's the one that owes, oh, she's forgiven. And then he goes into this. He says, listen. So he leans into truth. He's already been in grace with her, but he leans into truth. He says, guys, listen, you're the top dog Pharisees. I walk into your house, and the most honoring thing you could do is wash their feet. This is back in the day with sandals, and they're walking on roads with just dung everywhere because that's just the life. So when you come into a house, it's really honoring to wash their feet. He says, I walk into your house. You wanted me as the guest of honor. You didn't even wash my feet. She crawls in here, a sinner, literally, and washes my feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. And then he says to her, your sins are forgiven. Man, truth, grace, supernatural love. And she was in awe how Jesus could be so full of truth, knowing in that moment all that she's done, all the wrong things, all the bad decisions, all the people that she's slept with. She's given her body away. But here's the thing. He doesn't see that. He sees a woman broken, destroyed. He probably sees the story before we see the story. He sees what happened in her beginnings. He sees the men that abused her. He sees all these things, and all they can see sometimes is the truth and the guilty. And he's looking beyond that with grace and says, but I see who she is. Lord, I want that. Because so often I look at people and I see only what I see. And Jesus sees with his heart and with his spirit, and he sees what they are, what they're going to become, what they were. He sees it all. Reminds me of a story. I'll never forget this story. I was reading it. I can't remember where. It's relevant. Guy's on a bus or subway, I think it was. Probably a subway. And his kids are like crazy. They're running around. They're interrupting people. They're bothering people. They're spilling things. And people are getting annoyed. And this one guy finally gets the courage and goes, hey, can you like get your kids in order? Like they're causing a wreck. And the guy comes out of a stupor. He says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He collects his kids. He said, I'm so sorry. We just came from the hospital. They just lost their mom. See, we see with our eyes. I think if Jesus was there, he would have been able to even to maybe go, hey, is everything okay? I don't know. That's the thing. We don't know, but that's why we need the Holy Spirit. You know, the awesome thing is, it says in John that the Holy Spirit comes in truth. The Holy Spirit fills us with truth. What I am beginning to learn is that's not the truth to judge. That's actually, I believe, the truth to go beyond. With grace and truth, what do we see? What's the real story going on in somebody's life? See, the other day in that situation, I could have easily judged this mom maybe not doing what she should be doing, taking care. And I'm so thankful I didn't listen to that voice. I listened to, here's a person in need. Because when I went there, I found out the real thing that was going on. And I understood why she was almost in tears. Lord, help us. Give one more story. We know this story. We call it the prodigal son. It's really the loving father. If you know the prodigal son, man, he's kind of arrogant, isn't he? Asks for his father's inheritance before he's dead. That's like a slap in your face. Hey, you're going to die sometime anyway. Can I have your money? The crazy thing is the father allows him. The father allows him to go, hey, if you want to go do this, like this. This is so hard for us to understand, but sometimes truth does lie on the fact that, hey, if you need to go do this and get this out of your system, I don't want you to. This is gonna break my heart. I'm gonna be praying for you for so long, but here you go. And the prodigal son goes, and it says that he lived, that's why they call it prodigal. He lived a prodigal life. He basically spent all his money on the things that he shouldn't be doing, drinking, drugs in our day, sex and everything, you know, prostitutes. And he gets to a point where he's got nothing left, and then a drought hits. How many know when you have nothing left, a drought will hit? It's inevitable, whether there's lots out there, but he has a drought. There's nothing he can get. So he ends up working for a Gentile, which is like, you know, you're rubbing in it at this point because Jews don't work for Gentiles. Gentiles usually work for Jews. And so he's now working for a Gentile. Now he's working on a pig farm. That's like, oh my gosh, you're just reaping it. Coals upon coals of, you know, making him feel guilty. And he wishes at this point that he could just eat the food the pigs eat. Like, that's how bad it was. They don't eat pig. You know, they don't do anything with that. So he finally, it says that, I love this, he came to himself. It says he came to himself and realized, what am I doing? Picked himself up, and he starts walking. He starts walking towards his father, who, I think for every day the sun was gone, he was looking, because he says he sees him way off. What does that mean to me? He sees him in his yuck. He sees him in his sin. He sees him being a prodigal. He sees him, but he's been waiting. Now, here's what I think happened. Just like Ryan, I think like Bob, the father's like, Dad, can I run after him? Go for it, son. So the father goes and runs after his son. Oh, you're back. I can't believe it. You're back. And this is the thing that's interesting. The son begins to go and tell him all the things that he's done wrong. And what's interesting is he's kind of listening, but he's already got a game plan. Taking it back to the analogy, I think the father in the story is looking up at God going, can I, Father? Can I? Just like with Ryan, you know, can I put a new robe on him? Yeah, go ahead, do it. I'm going to put a robe on you. It's going to be awesome. You know, Jesus is up in heaven. God's up in heaven going, okay, what do you want now? Could I put sandals on his feet? Could I make him feel like he's brand new again? Yeah, that sounds like, heck, let's do it. Hey, I'm going to put sandals on your feet. I got a robe on. Hey, Dad, I don't know if this is too much or not, but can I put a ring on his finger? Give him his identity back? Huh. Heck yeah, let's do it. This is awesome. Goes over. Let's put a ring back on your finger. One more. Hey, God, I got a crazy idea. Can we throw him the biggest party ever? That's a good idea. Let's do it. Let's go. And he throws him this huge party. See, that's our dad. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we get so caught up. And you got to hear me. Don't. It's and. If you think I'm saying there's no truth, that you're going to miss it. If you're saying, well, you know, is it just grace? No. But I think the Lord looks upon more. He is more broken at what he sees in truth than what we're breaking. Because he knows when we break these things, it's destroying our lives. He knows that these things that we are stuck in, dabbling in, addicted to, broken in, we want to get caught up in that. It's like when somebody lights a cigarette, we're like, you know, it's not as big anymore, but I remember it was like, oh, a Christian is smoking. It's like, we're getting caught up in that. I think we should be getting caught up in, man, I'd love to see you break free of that because I know that hurts your lungs. Oh, they're caught in this. Oh, I'd love to see them get free of that because it's destroying their marriage. Oh, look, don't you see? Oh, yes, I do, but I'd love to see them get free of that because they're broken and they're lonely. Truth with grace looks beyond it all. And then you got a father in heaven because God is love and he gets caught up, I think. That's why sometimes you're like, how could that person be blessed so much? Don't you know? God's like, I know where they've been stuck. I also know that I saw them from afar off walking towards me and I got so excited. And Jesus and me, we wanted to do something for them. And so we gave them back the robe that said, you're part of my family, and the sandals, and we're cleaning you up. And the ring that says, man, you are part of the family. You have your identity. You are with us. The sad part is, it's the older brother that gets jealous who had it all already. And I'm determined to say, Lord, I don't want to be an older brother. Because church people are going to come in and you're going to see them messy. And here's what I love. You're going to see them messy and you're going to see them broken and you're going to see them in addictions and their language is not going to be the language. You know, they're not going to have the Christianese that we have. Man, listen to ourselves sometimes. I'm like, man, we are so full of Christianese. I'm like, can't we just be normal sometimes? You know, you could say amen if you want, but sometimes you can just go, that's a good one. Okay, thank you. But we get so caught up in that. They're not gonna, Dorman's been telling me stories, and Matt actually, both Paulettes, of times when they've been down. They've had the Salvation Army crew come in, and these people, he's got so many stories. The one time this guy was there, he was like a leader of a major organization that I won't say online, but the guy was there just to protect him. I have no idea who this person is, but he was rough. He was rougher than rough. He was like, stay away, cross the sidewalk to the other side while they walk by type rough. He ends up at this service, and they have a word of knowledge that somebody has ringing in their ear, and they call it out, and they say, you know, be healed in Jesus' name, and the ringing stops, and the guy's like, he stands up, and he looks to his friend, I believe is how the story went. He said, holy beep, I can't believe this is healed. This is beeping awesome. Why? Because that's the language they know. If we're all, see, we were like, what do we do in that moment? If we clap, we're going to endorse his swearing. No, you're not. We get so caught up in that. So the people that were not caught up in religion started to shout with victory because this guy got his hearing back. That's awesome. Are you ready, church? Because what we're going to have to do is see beyond what we see. With grace and truth, we're going to have to see beyond what we physically see. One more story, then I'm going to close. If you're wondering, how do we get this supernatural love? Begin to look. You guys know the scripture well, and I'm going to end with a story. I want to just share this. There is only one way. This is not a normal love. You cannot summon this up. You cannot get the courage to have love like this. You cannot just read scripture and get it, to be honest with you. This is supernatural that God has to impart into you that can come from reading scripture with a revelation. Go, Lord, impart this to me. But what I do know is John 15, which apparently I can't find. In John 15, you can turn there another time. We have this beautiful passage about abiding. But you know what's interesting? If you, let me turn here. John 15. I'm actually starting to get tired of headings because I realized that my Bible put a heading in when this is supposed to continue. John 15 talks about abiding with God every day. And it's not just doing a devotional. Oh, I have so much I want to share. Can I just go a few more minutes? It's not just doing a devotional. Let me explain it like this, because the Lord gave this to me when I was going to sleep and kept me awake. So if he kept me awake, surely I can keep you awake. All right. He described it this way. Listen, if you install pools, you read about pools, like you know everything about pools. You know how to install them. You know how to dig the hole. You know what needs to go where. You know how to build the deck. You can even sit and you can look at that pool all day long because you know everything about pools. But I'll tell you, there's something different about somebody that knows that but also can jump in the pool and get so wet with the water and they come out like, pools are awesome. And they give you a hug, and that water gets all over you, and now you're wet with water. Why do I say that? Because you could read scripture all day long and not get it into your soul, and you're just reading. But I'll tell you, when you're like, Lord, give me revelation. I want you to pour on me. I don't want to just read scripture. I'm going to sit here, and I'm simply going to say, Lord, as I read, pour on me and help me get the love you're talking about. Because then you get so wet with the love of God, the next time you go out, you don't know a theory about the love of God. You actually have the love of God supernaturally in you. And then when you come across people, that water gets on them. It's a totally different thing. I can tell you a lot of times I've sat and read, and I just read. Now I know a little bit more about God, and that's good. That is good. But I'm telling you, to change the world, we need a supernatural love. And John talks about it. He's like, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit. This is John 15, verse 4. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So he goes through this whole thing. You've got to stay connected. You got to abide. Then at verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Our Bibles put a heading at the next part like the story's done. It's not done. The main point is coming still. Why do we abide? It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abideth in my love. What are we abiding in when we sit there and abide with him? His love. What did we do this morning? We actually abided in his love as we declared the scriptures through song. We declared what Jesus did over us. And I don't know about you, but I felt the love of God. I could not stop singing. I looked at the team. I'm like, I want to go all day long, but I can't. And then it says, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your love, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. See, that whole thing about abiding wasn't just, you know, going to heaven. That whole thing about abiding was that you could every day go, Lord, I need your love, because I'm going to hit a world that is desperate for your love. And if I have some good scripture, it's not going to be enough. I need the scripture to become life inside of me so I can have supernatural love. I'll close with a story, really. It's a true story of a gentleman. Many years after he got saved, they moved and they felt like they were supposed to plant a church. So they began to plant this church. They found a crew that would work with them, that, you know, they discipled them. And then, you know, as churches, you get more people and they help disciple them. And then they're in not an auditorium. They rented some facility. And he says, we are up to 60 people, and 60 people were experiencing the love of God. They were like just blown away by God's goodness and God's love. And, you know, the team was excited and this guy and his wife were excited. And one day they got a letter in the mail inviting them to go to this meeting. It was an elders meeting at another church. And in his heart, he's like, this is awesome. We're going to meet with another church, man. The body of Christ is coming together. I can't wait. So they go there, and him and his co-laborer that works with them, I think it was Peter or something like that, and they go in and they have some, you know, tea, coffee, and biscuits, and then they take him into the room. He says for the next 3 hours, they're lambasted. They're told how they are sinning against God by having this church, that they are, you know, out of God's will, that this is the wrong thing to do. And he said, we just got blasted. He said, I was gutted inside. He says, here's the kicker. At the very end of it, they asked them if they would bring those people to their church to impart what's been going on. So it's just pure jealousy. They were jealous of what was happening, so they made them feel like they were out of God's will and brought them in. So they're driving home, and they get to their house, and he's like gutted on the inside. He's like, how is this even possible? And I found myself saying that, you know, in my life lately, and I thought, this is the key I don't have. Just before they were about to go, Peter, his coworker, co-laborer, says, hey, let's just pray. They are both gutted. So they started to pray, and before you know it, they're just giving each other a hug. And he just feels the love of God. They're like, Lord, supernaturally, we need your love. And they felt like the love filled the car. And he says he walks in, his friend drives off, gets to the house. His wife, he can see the light still on, goes to the room, and she's like, ah, how was it tonight? And he says, out of his mouth comes, those guys are some really great guys. In his mind, he's like, what am I saying? He said, all I can tell you is it's like the supernatural love of God bypassed my brain and used my voice. And what he said was so enticing. She said, are we going to start going there? He's like, not a chance. He said it a little more graciously than that. But he said that's when he learned that the love of God, the supernatural love of God, can bypass what we think, how we feel, our brokenness, all of that, and cause love to come back into our hearts for people. I thought, Lord, I don't have that. I do not have that. But Lord, I want it. I don't want situations. I just want to have it. Then, you know, it's not like you pray for patience and have 12 more kids. I don't want that, Lord. But Lord, I want the love like that. We talk about people like Heidi Baker and different ones where they're like, they walk into the dumps and the slums of, I can't remember where at, and they pick up these broken people and broken kids, and they don't see the broken people and broken kids. They see what God's going to do in these lives. And that's what changes the world. You need to stop looking just with what we see and start looking at what Jesus sees. And maybe we need to start going, Lord, what's the story behind this anger? What's the story behind this bitterness that every day I get blasted when I go into work? What's behind that? So I can start praying. Why don't you stand? Well, if you're like me, I don't have it. Maybe I have a little bit, but there's a whole lot more. So my encouragement to you is simply, I believe there is an impartation that you can get of love, but I think in a season we're in, it takes us to wake up in the mornings and go, Lord, before I leave this door, I need that supernatural love. You may have to say it, I don't even know what he's talking about fully. I haven't read all the scriptures that Jay's read, but I like what he's talking about, and I want that supernatural love. Because I need to do that. It's great, man, when you start having one story to go, oh, I did it right that time. I stopped what I was doing and I did something simple and it changed things. Do it again, Lord. So, Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, I'm aware in my natural, I don't have it, but Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that fills us with grace and truth and love. And Lord, I'm thankful that I'm connected to the God who is love. And so, Lord, would you just begin to fill us? Fill us as we go about our day today. Would you fill us with your love? And Lord, help us to see not what we see with our natural eyes, but help us to see what you see with spiritual eyes.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.